It is the custom to pause a moment before we resume our study, rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Now, Father, as we continue our study, it is our prayer the Holy Spirit will enlighten and guide us as we approach this subject so important to us in a free society, as we reflect back on those who have given their very lives in defense of it. Lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We stopped at a place where we're going to go into some examples here. The concept initially is the failure to bring subsequent opponents to the treaty table has ended in a stalemate with North Korea withdrawal in Vietnam, and we still don't know what's going to happen in the Middle East. The passages we want to start with here begins with Joshua 11, verses 20 and 23. It reads this way. It was of the Lord to harden their hearts to meet Israel in battle in order that he might utterly destroy them, that they might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And so in verse 23, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and Joshua gave it for the inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Thus the land had rest from war. So Joshua's job was to go take the land when he crossed the Jordan River. That is when things broke out at Jericho and subsequent battles ensued. And the whole idea was, under orders from God Almighty, is to go take the land. It was populated, called Canaan then. And when he goes in and meets all of these various tribes, heathen tribes, a lot of them Hamitics, his orders were to take them down. This is the devil's world. People who are not believers in Jesus Christ get to occupy their piece of ground just so long. It is thought that maintains an area that people have control over it. When they lose the thought, when they get to the point that they cannot reconcile what is necessary to maintain their environment, then they will lose it to someone else. If you can look on this world and just look at a map and assume that it's some kind of a multicolored chess piece, people move around. Had a good friend down at Troy University who had PhDs in geography and geology, and he said the difference between the two is this. Geology has to do with the structure of the land that people occupy. Geography has to do with the movement of people across that piece of real estate. That's called immigration, migration, these kinds of things. And so people are going to move around, and they'll try to occupy certain areas of land. The question arises, how long can they stay there? How long can they defend their piece of turf? And when it's occupied by those who are in opposition to the Word of God and the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are vulnerable to the onslaught of an army that's undergirded, therefore directed by the God of this universe. This country, for example, cannot fathom this kind of rationale. Well, somebody's got to be somewhere. Everybody's got to have a place to be. May as well be free. And so freedom is going to emerge in Canaan. Joshua had the know-how, the want-to, and the people with the right attitude to go take the land. And we'll see how God directs people of righteous order to do their business with regard to the military. Now, Scripture also provides to the people and the defenders of a client nation. As the Jews were rebuilding Jerusalem, occupants of the land were planning to attack the Israelites before they could complete the city's walls. This is after the Chaldean experience. They're moving back into the land. This is a late 500s B.C. We note some things in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 4:14. When I saw their fear, arose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. You can only occupy a piece of real estate so long as you can defend it or in an environment that does so. There are places in St. Louis where it's dangerous for people to live. There's a loss of thought there when you're afraid of the people around you. Across this nation, people are concerned about the evacuation from inner cities. Why would people want to do that? Why go to a suburb? Liberals hate suburbs. They want everybody to be congregated in one central location. They're easier to manage and control that way. So when people flee and go to the suburbs, it's because they want to be free. They do not want dictatorial control, and they don't want the danger that goes along with it. The dark side did not want the Jews to rebuild that wall around Jerusalem. They wanted the freedom to go in there and have their way with the Jews. These are bad people. In victory, the people of a client nation that remain humble are recalling the principle that it is the Word of God, the residency of its truths, and the souls of its people that enables Jesus Christ to control history on behalf of mature believers. Doctrine in the souls of a few can defend the freedom for the many. Men who dress in the clothing of the armed forces have made a decision to put their lives on the line in some manner or fashion in order to defend that piece of real estate where their wives, their children, their parents, their relatives, and their friends can continue to exercise their freedom on a day-by-day basis. Somebody has to do that. We salute them tomorrow. First Samuel 17, verses 46, and that verse. Now, this is a speech by David. David's a young guy. He probably is not out of his teens. This is a depiction of David by Paul Rubens. I want you to take a look at old Dave here. Does he look like 17 to you? Maybe Michelangelo is a little closer. Still looks like a big old boy. And then there, that's more like it. And that's also Michelangelo. And look what he's got in his hand. You know you won the battle when you got his head in your hand. This day the Lord will deliver you, Goliath, up into my, meaning David's, hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. First Samuel 17:47. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And finally, Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. There's an inheritance involved in the people of the Lord. He will manipulate and control things to our advantage. You do not need to be afraid. You do not need to be frightened. You do not need to be concerned. You do need to be informed. You need to be a part of the solution, not the problem. But God is on our side. During the reign of Jehoshaphat, the fourth king of the southern kingdom of Judah, news came to him that an allied army made up of Moabites, Ammonites, Syrians, and Edomites were planning an attack on Judah and Jerusalem. And this is noted in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Now, Jehoshaphat knew he was not prepared militarily to engage such a large force and made the decision to organize a prayer meeting before the temple in Jerusalem. You see that in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 3 through 5. So when you see four armies converging on your piece of real estate, namely Jerusalem, and you know that you do not have the military forces to defend your people against such an invasion, then the question arises, what do we do now? And when you are a good Jew who believes in Messiah, is king of the country, and therefore responsible for defending the people's lives, he thought the best thing to do would be to go to God in prayer. His magnificent prayer is recorded in verses 6 through 12. He saluted the Lord regarding his power and authority, and then appealed for his divine deliverance from the danger and summarized it in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And the Lord's response was prompt, providing instruction on how to assemble themselves and in what place, followed by a very interesting command. How do we assemble ourselves and what place do we do it? How do we assemble? Here's the command, 2 Chronicles 20:17. You need not fight this battle. Oh my. Are there battles you fight that don't need to be fought? I don't know about you, but if you've got a four-division army headed your way, one from each of these four countries, and they want to take you down, and have said so, and you don't have the means of defending it, which is where we are in the devil's world, therefore you confront situations constantly, these are the momentum tests. Is it possible to lay down your sword and shield and let God take care of it? Listen to what happens here. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. The battle sequence is described in verses 21 through 24. Jehoshaphat's advance guard was not made up of military personnel, but rather the temple chorus and orchestra. Their job, leading point, was to sing this song. Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting. They sang, don't turn the page. Look at the lyric there. Who are these people? I have come to the understanding that at the temple in those days, there were thousands of people who were associated in taking care of business in the temple area. There was a chorus. These people sang. I don't know how well they sang. I don't know what kind of music. Don't know who composed it. But nevertheless, they had singers. Best I can discover is they sang the melody, so to speak. In other words, it was not a choral deal, but everybody sang and they sang the melody in unison. And what they sang, give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting. These are the orders Jehoshaphat gave to the chorus. There's also an orchestra, and they were playing the tune as they marched. And they're riding point. So, what are these people thinking? These guys coming into town going to take it down. And the opposition they see are a bunch of people singing songs and playing guitars. They had a lot of stringed instruments then. So, I say guitars. It was stringed instruments. And they were good pickers, I imagine. I don't know if it was bluegrass or what, but they picked. And bluegrass would have been perfect for this situation, by the way. Everything's bad news in bluegrass except when you die and go to heaven. As the chorus sang, the Lord directed an unknown set of ambushes against the enemy in verse 22. Who are these people? The Bible does not tell us, but there were some people who hated that bunch of people more than they hated the Jews. And they took them down. We don't know who they were. Could have been angels for all we know. But nevertheless, the aftermath involved the Israelites accumulating booty off the battlefield for the next 3 days. And all they did was sing and toot. So we have a lot of electronic contrivances today. So next time you seem to be between a rock and a hard place and don't know how to deal with that, maybe you should just tune up something and hum along and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting." On the fourth day, Jehoshaphat assembled the people of Judah to give praise to the Lord. 4 days before, he was flummoxed about what to do. He said, "I know we'll have a prayer meeting." Held a prayer meeting at the temple, people assembled and they attended. He said, in a very eloquent speech, "We're going to have to figure this out, and the only way for us to have any chance of victory is let the Lord guide us." And so the Lord guided him and says, "Get the fiddlers and the singers and have them ride point. I'll take care of the rest." On the fourth day, this is what happened. 1 Chronicles 20, verse 26. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka. And Baraka means blessing. It was a valley of blessing. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, they have named that place the Valley of Baraka until this day. Every man of Judah and Jerusalem returned with Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps, lyres, and trumpets in the house of the Lord. And the dread of God was on all the kingdoms of the lands when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. News got around. Didn't have Fox News, Compost Dispatch, Twitter, Fritter, or whatever it is. Word got around. So the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God gave him rest on all sides. All sides. Everybody got the word, don't mess with Israel. There's a God in Israel, and he defends the Jews. The honoring of military heroes is a biblical concept, as evidenced by David's men of valor, whose honor roll is found in 2 Samuel chapter 23. All these men were loyal to David and served the priest nation of Israel with skill and courage on the field of honor. We do this here in our country. For example, there is a monument, Veterans Memorial, and so there's names of people on there that are recognized from that community. You see these all over the country. Even out on our front, we have the Walk of Honor, where those who have been members of this church from the very beginning, and as best I can determine, if they've served in the nation's armed forces, they have a paver, as it's called, with a name and branch of service on it. So we do our best with that. There are memorials in Washington, D.C., the World War II Memorial. I have a number of uncles whose names are there. Joe Henra has two whose names are there, one at Iwo Jima. And so there are other memorials that are scattered around that city, Vietnam and World War I, I believe, and so on it goes. So there's nothing unusual about having these monuments and also having the names of the fallen engraved on stone. These men of honor, these men of great courage that had been with David, loyal to David, fought battles with David, and advanced in the eyes of David are mentioned here. And the reason I've done this before, it's been years ago, but on Memorial Day, we have this recognition every May of those who've fallen in defense of this country's freedom. And I just want to do this again to remind you that it's a biblical idea. The names that I am going to relate to you here are part of David's 30 honorable warriors. Actually, there's 37 of them, but they're called the 30. And some of them have honors higher than others, and they're mentioned. And so it's like a Medal of Honor citation for one, and Distinguished Service Cross for another, Silver Star, and so on. Let's get cracking. We're going to see a lot of names here. 2 Samuel 23:8 begins this passage. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Jehoshabeath, a Tachmonite, chief of the captains. He was called Adono and Eznite because of 800 slain by him at one time. So he was busy on that day. It's in the scriptures, so somehow, some way, he was able to hold up to get rid of 800 people who were the enemies of Israel. Medal of Honor, no doubt. But we see here that his name is among the mighty men. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahonite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there to do battle, and the men of Israel had withdrawn. Verse 10, he rose and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to strip the slain, get booty. Verse 11, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered into a troop where there was a plot of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he, Shammah, took his stand in the midst of the plot, defended it, and struck the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Now, Josheb, Bathsheba, Eleazar, and Shammah were known as the three, the elite warriors of the group known as David's mighty men. Other of the renown follow, and therefore begins with verse 18. Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of the 30, and he swung his spear against 300 and killed them, and had a name as well as the three. He was most honored of the 30. Therefore, he became their commander. However, he did not attain to the three. So we have three guys that seem to be those who achieved the greatest honor. We would call that medals of honor or something very similar. The 30 is simply a phraseology that's used in Scripture by the writer here, that gives us the idea that there was a group of men who were honored above the others because of their exploits under the command of David. Actually, there are 37 people involved. Verse 20, then Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done mighty deeds, killed the two sons of Ariel and Moab. He also went down and killed a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. He killed an Egyptian, an impressive man. Now, the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a club and snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did and had a name as well as the three mighty men. He was honored among the 30, but he did not attain the three, and David appointed him over his guard. Now, beginning at verse 24 and continuing through verse 39 is the list of names the 30 mighty men actually achieved. At 31 that are listed on this list, and when you add the other five, we've noted there's 36, and David makes 37. So we begin with verse 24. And as we go through this, they're going to be mighty men, two each in the verses that follow. We'll get down to Uriah the Hittite in verse 39, and he's listed singularly. Now, this would be a monument. If this were to happen today, we would have a monument somewhere with these guys' names on it. They're the ones that achieved great valor under the commander of David. And so here they are. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was among the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodah of Bethlehem. Shammah, and they give a little, need to pause here a moment. Sometimes you have a repetition of names. That's common with us. There'll be a lot of Johns and a lot of Jameses and a lot of Freds, you see. And so to distinguish one from the other, you find out where they're from or who their father was. So Shammah is a Herodite. You have Elikah, the Herodite. That's Herodite. Notice that. The Herodite, Herodite. So notice the spelling. Otherwise, you'll get confused as to who belongs to whom. Verse 26, Heles, the Paltite. Ara, the son of Ikish, the Tekoite. Verse 27, Abiezer, the Anatothite. Mebunai, the Hushaite. Verse 28, Zalman, the Ahoite. Mahariah, the Netophathite. Break your tongue on that one. Netophathite. Verse 29, Heleb, the son of Baana, a Netophathite. Ittai, the son of Ribai, out of Gibeah, of the children of Benjamin. Benaiah, that's Benaiah, you get a Y sound in the IA there. Benaiah, the Parathonite. Hittai of the brooks of Gaish. Abialban, the Arbathite. Asmabeth, the Barhumite. Eliaba, the Shaalbanite of the sons of Jashon. Then we have the singular name of Jonathan. He needs no definition, as you can see. There's one other, and that's Uriah. Shammah, the Hararite. And Ahiram, the son of Sharar, the Hararite. Eliphelet, the son of Ahashbai, the son of the Maacathrite. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel and Gilonite. Hezariah, the Carmelite. Peorah, the Arbite. Igal, the son of Nathan. You all know Nathan. Zobah, Bani, the Gadite. Zelek, the Ammonite. Nahari, the Beerothite. Armor-bearers of Joab, the son of the Zeruiah. Ara, an Ithrite. Gerub, the Ithrite. Uriah, the Hittite. 37 in all, counting David. Now, if there were a monument, these names would be on it. There may have been one in those days, but certainly it's not discovered, but is eternally inscribed in the Word of God. This is like a memorial recognition. So since this is our Memorial Day observance, in which we remember those in our nation's history for their exploits on the field of honor, I think it fitting to mention the biblical authorization of a day of remembrance, the personal sacrifices of our nation's mighty men of valor, hundreds of thousands who have fallen in fray. The names of David's corps of military heroes are enshrined in the immutable and eternal record of the Word of God. They were and remain still enshrined in the soul of David, who recruited these men and who with him distinguished and delivered Israel on the field of battle. I'd like to close with the lyric from a hymn that was written in the early 1900s by William Tarrant. And this hymn is entitled, Now Praise We Great and Famous Men. Now praise we great and famous men, the fathers named in story, and praise the Lord who now as then reveals in man His glory. Praise we the wise and brave and strong who graced their generation, who helped the right and fought the wrong and made our folk a nation. Praise we the glorious names we know and they whose names have perished, lost in the haze of long ago, in silent love be cherished. In peace, their sacred ashes rest, fulfilled their day's endeavor. They bless the earth and they are blessed of God and man forever. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled by the sacrifice that so many within our client nation have given so that we might remain free. We acknowledge that they did not see themselves as heroes, but their devotion to duty renders them so. Their absence affected the lives of so many who lost dear loved ones at the highest cost. Mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, wives and children, friends and relatives were left to suffer the void that honor required. In the most difficult calling assigned to men and now to the women of this country, we owe them each a mental salute for the price they paid so that the rest might live in peace, while some yet born must one day pick up the guidon and carry the colors where the colors never flew. Comfort the families on tomorrow's lachrymose day as survivors recall the reveries of good times past while suffering the absence of the ones who gave their all. And may your grace and your power sustain those who remember when. And we lift our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies. Amen. We stand and sing. A number. What's the number? 528. National anthem, first and last verses.